Just get all our sillies out now for them to start. Maybe some alcohol.
Hey, wait, cheers.
Cheers.
To the first episode.
To the first episode.
Oh, that's really nice.
Ooh, that is nice.
So how do we start?
I don't know. Maybe we have started.
Well, if you're listening to this, then welcome. We don't know what we're doing.
It's true, we don't.
No idea.
Yeah. But we thought, let's start a podcast. That'll be fun.
This is the Generally Spooky podcast. Welcome, if you find your way here. I'm Ailey.
And I'm Kieran.
We'll be your amateur hosts. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Just about us. But we're doing our best.
Do you want to say a bit about what the podcast will be about?
Sure. Because I know
If you say it's just generally spooky, then yeah, you're kicked out.
General spook, isn't it? it's the podcast where my wife there, Ailey, tells me a spooky story from in and around Scotland, from history or from current or about a place.
We live in Scotland, by the way.
We do live in Scotland. Yeah, we didn't just pick Scotland.
If you couldn't tell. Yeah, this is the podcast where I choose a story from Scottish history or Scottish myth, and I tell Kieran about it.
Yeah.
And he just sits and enjoys it.
I get to listen, ask questions, offer witty remarks, allegedly. That'll be good.
We're hoping it'll be fun.
Yeah. We're going to have fun. I'm thinking if we record it, other people might get to enjoy it too.
I feel really awkward, but it's just literally nothing has changed. It's just us sitting in the same room. But there's something about having the mic on in front of you that,
you know, like, ooh.
It changes things.
What if people listen?
I know. What if we're under the microscope now, that we can't just get away with the normal shit that we that we pull? We're on our own. Yeah. Other people can hear us. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe no one will listen. Maybe that'll be worse.
Will that be worse? Will that be better?
I don't know.
How do I simultaneously want no one to listen and everyone to hear?
You don't want anyone to listen, but you want everyone to know about it.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
I just thought everyone would be really stoked on me.
And there is the first South Park reference.
There's going to be a lot.
That's number one. I'm not going to count, but that's number one. Well, okay. Today we are going to talk about the fairy coffins story.
Ooh.
You intrigued?
I am intrigued.
Do you have any thoughts going in completely blind? Kieran, I should say that Kieran knows nothing about what I'm going to talk about in each episode. I've done the research. He knows the title and that's about it.
Yeah, I know nothing about anything.
Mm-hmm. And we've done that on purpose so that you kind of, you're going in blind and you're hearing this for the first time.
Yeah. A blind playthrough.
Yeah.
Fairy coffins. Mm-hmm. Hmm. I'm imagining it's not tiny coffins. Well, it might be. Might be tiny coffins.
I don't know.
Tiny fairy-sized coffins.
How do you feel?
How do I feel? Mm-hmm. Excited.
Excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited and nervous.
What's going to be? Who are they? Where are they? I've got peat bogs in my head.
Peat bogs?
Yeah, I don't know. Seems like a fairy place.
Oh, are you thinking of the peat bog fairies?
Oh, yeah, I totally am.
The band.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Well, with that, we'll begin.
Ooh.
So, I'm going to set the scene a little bit for you. Mm. I don't want to get into too much heavy detail. I don't want to kind of overwhelm you with loads. So I'll try and keep it kind of brief. It's 1836.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Queen Victoria will become queen 1 year from now.
Hmm.
So that's the kind of...
Queen Victoria will become queen.
Mm-hmm. In a year.
Who's queen before Queen Victoria?
King...
Edward?
I'm only a line in. I didn't check. Who was... I know it was a king.
Victoria's husband?
Was it a George? No, because she married Prince Albert.
Oh.
And they were together for a really long time and had like a million children.
Mm.
King George?
King George? Could be King George.
One of the Georges?
One of the Georges.
Look, I don't... I do my research into what's important. I don't know.
Fucking no.
Fucking no. Okay.
Okay, moving on.
1 year from now, the current king will no longer be king. He will be dead, and Queen Victoria will be queen.
King unknown.
And at this time, the Industrial Revolution is in full swing.
Mm.
Do you know anything about that already? Do you know roughly what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know of it.
Basically, there's a huge movement from farming to machinery.
Mm.
People are moving to the cities from the country, like places like the Highlands where we are now. They're moving into cities to find work. Loads of big, not warehouses, factories.
Factories
are going up, and that's where all the jobs and the money is. Mm. But this is also the same time that a lot of people in the Highlands are just being cleared off the land.
Oh, yeah, the clearances.
Yeah. So they're being moved off the land to make way for sheep because they're more profitable. So that's happening at the same time. People are turning more to science for answers about life in general rather than religion. So think Darwin, everything he had to say. People are turning to science more instead of superstition. And people are feeling a lot more enlightened. There's great advances in medicine. Lots of good stuff.
Mm.
So that's where we are.
Okay, okay.
We're in Edinburgh.
Ooh.
You like Edinburgh?
I like Edinburgh. Quite like Edinburgh. I prefer Glasgow, but Edinburgh's fine.
For someone who doesn't know, how describe the Glasgow v Edinburgh debate?
It's basically that Glasgow is amazing and Edinburgh isn't.
No, no.
So that's...
Not describe your opinion.
No, that's just fact.
No. Basically, generally, you either love Glasgow or you love Edinburgh. One of the two. In our household, Glasgow is better.
Yep.
But for today, we're with the Poshos in Edinburgh.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's weird that like people are turning to science... 200 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always find it weird that science, as we know, it's only like 400 years old. It's a really weird thought.
Well, this is the time when great advances in medicine were happening. So surgery was coming on leaps and bounds, and that was when they were doing surgery in the big theatres in medical schools in Edinburgh.
Oh.
So they were learning about anatomy and all that fun. This is the time. This is it.
It's happening.
Was mad to think of that happening, and it's not really that long ago.
Not really.
Not in the scheme of things.
Not the scheme of everything ever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, we're in Edinburgh.
We're in Edinburgh.
And a group of boys are playing on Arthur's Seat, which is the big hill that looks over Edinburgh.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm with you, I'm with you.
It's actually an ancient volcano.
Oh.
But not anymore. They're having fun. They're playing around and they're looking for rabbits' burrows.
Mm-hmm.
As you do.
Pretty standard.
In 1836.
Yeah. Or when I'm young.
Did you search for rabbits?
Yeah, that's what you did.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what they're doing. So maybe you have like a mental connection.
Yeah. Similar mental age.
Yeah. But this is when things get strange.
Mm.
So they're playing around on this big hill. And they come across a big pile of slate. So, like, for roofs, big things of slate. And they start pulling the pieces of slate up off the ground. There's a cave.
Ooh.
And as they start exploring the cave, they discover 17 little coffins.
Oh, we do have little coffins.
Mm-hmm, we do.
Interesting.
We do. How terrified would you be?
Yeah.
If you were this boy and you found this cave with all your mates, and there's coffins.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Like, oh god. You'd definitely all be standing outside the cave being like, you go in first. No, but you go in first. Oh, fuck, go you first.
Fuck no.
I'm going in. Let's find this missed cave. Would you just shut me in and put the slate back?
So, the papers reported on this at the time, and I'll tell you a bit more as we go. But this is what the London Times reported about the discovery that the boys made. This is in quotes. In the coffins were miniature wooden figures. They were dressed differently in both style and material. There were two tiers of eight coffins each, and a third one began with one coffin.
Hmm.
So there's like three rows of these coffins. I'm waving my hands about. There's three rows. and two of them had eight. One of them had one, and inside each coffin is a little figure.
Hmm. It's very voodoo.
The extraordinary datum, which has especially made mystery here, that the coffins had been deposited singly in the little cave, and at intervals of many years. So they weren't all put there at once. They were put into this cave one at a time.
Interesting.
With years in between.
Hmm. That's odd.
So somebody's been going back.
Yeah, so it's not just like someone screwing over their sister and they've just sacrificed all of her dolls.
Sorry, India, if you're listening. That sounds like something I would do. I feel I should apologise now for the ribbing that you're going to get. No, this is... It wasn't just done once and then done. People were... Whoever it was dropping these off. Individually.
Oh, man, they must be pissed. They've been getting away with that for years. Someone's come and found their doll grave.
Doll grave? In the first tier, the coffins were quite decayed, and the wrappings had mouldered away. In the second tier, the effects of age had not advanced so far, and the top coffin was quite recent-looking. So this was from the London Times in July of 1836. Just, like, I think it, like, the week after the boys had found these coffins. That's what they said. So the ones that were on the bottom were kind of mouldy, and I think I remember reading somewhere there was lots of water damage to them, so they were pretty wrecked. And then the second tier were kind of, like, okay. And then the one on the top had been put there not long ago.
I wonder how long it takes, like, wood to get a bit mouldy.
Pardon me. I was just thinking how weirded out I would be if I saw that that one at the top looked like brand new.
Yeah.
That someone had, like, maybe been there, like, just before you. That creeped me out more than, like, the mouldy. Because that would just happen.
That just happened over time. And I was wondering, like, how long is that? Like, if it's in a little cave underground, is it, like, a year would that happen? 10 years? I have no idea.
I don't know. So, in all my research, I had a look at these coffins.
Because the pictures.
Yeah, there's pictures. Yeah. Yeah. And they're pretty nightmarish. They're pretty horrible. I knew there were photos of them, so I had to look for this so I could describe them. But I kind of wished that I hadn't, because they're the kind of thing that you'd find in a horror movie. You know, like, the troubled child that you've just moved to the new mansion with goes into the attic and finds these dolls and then brings a curse on the entire family. That's what these dolls look like. They're awful. The coffins themselves are wooden, and some of them were decorated with little bits of tin. The dolls on the inside are wooden too, and they were carved into shape. Like, they started as one piece, and then someone has carved in faces and arms and legs. So they're not assembled from lots of pieces of wood. It's one solid bit. And like I said, some of them are more decayed than the other ones, so some of them have clothes on. So they're, like, they're dressed in little outfits. And all the outfits are different.
Yeah.
So they're all individual. They're not all dressed the same. They look like different people, each one.
Ooh.
It makes it so much worse. And I don't know why. There would be something... I don't know.
Well, there's, like, 10 action men. You'd be like, oh, man, that's a weird game, but all right.
Well, yeah, they're all individual.
It's very deliberate.
The Scotsman was the first newspaper to report anything about what the boys had found. And when they reported it, I thought this was hilarious. They explained that a number of the dolls, quote, were destroyed by the boys pelting them at each other as unmeaning and contemptible trifles. Unquote. So they didn't appreciate what they'd found. At all. They were just nailing each other with these dolls.
I'm not going to touch it. You touch it. You threw it at me. I can perfectly imagine that.
That's why I included it. I knew you would. I just thought that was hysterical. Like, could be a really important find. No one knows what these are, and these kids are just lobbing them at each other. Yeah.
This one's called Daisy. God, fuck off. don't touch me with that.
So, reports were kind of varied about what happened after that. I tried to find what was most accurate, but different papers reported different things at the time. That makes it kind of difficult. So a story that was written by someone called Robert Chapman about the coffins was published in the Edinburgh Evening News, but this was in 1956 that this was published.
130 years later.
Uh-huh.
What What photo did you see? Surely you didn't see a photo at the time?
No. They still have the coffins and the dolls. They still exist. They're in the museum in Edinburgh, I think. The National Museum in Edinburgh. I'm pretty sure I talk about it later, but they're more current photos than photos at the time. But Robert Chapman explained that the boys left the coffins in the little cave that they had found, and then they went and told their schoolmaster about it, someone called Mr. Ferguson. And then Mr. Ferguson went to the cave the next day and took the coffins home, which would make sense because he was a member of the local archaeological society.
Huh. Fortuitous.
And then he pried them open and saw that the dolls were inside.
I wonder how odd a moment it is, sitting at your kitchen table, prying open a tiny coffin.
Would it not be weirder when the boys come to tell you what they found?
Yeah, but that's why he went the next day. No, they didn't. They're just, I'm going to go there and they're going to try and lock me in this cave, or they're just going to, like, there's going to be a badger in there. Or
I don't know. This was a time when you were allowed to beat children, if you were a schoolmaster.
Ah, well, that's probably, like, if they got him, then they'd get their hiding. Ooh. Yeah, like, I just imagine them with a tiny hammer and a tiny crowbar prying open this tiny coffin.
Well, what I even have this written down in my notes. I'm like, I can't think, this is what I had wrote. I can't think of anything dafter than finding a set of tiny, creepy coffins and then deciding to take them home.
Hmm.
I don't know, even if you are interested in archaeology, I don't know why you would do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't have that in my house.
Inviting that into your house.
You don't know what they are.
Yeah. Do you think his wife just went off at him?
Who would do that?
Who would do that? I mean, I might do that.
Why would you do that?
Because you just, I don't know.
No.
You can't just leave them there.
No. Yes, you can. You leave them exactly where you... No, don't touch them. No.
When there's young, boisterous boys, you know where they are.
And don't get me started on opening them. That's even worse.
Evil.
Oh, you see a little coffin?
Yeah, I wouldn't
open that.
I definitely don't know.
No, I'd definitely
be convinced there was a dead baby inside or something horrible.
Why on earth would you want... anyway. So this article is a lot more recent than the original story. It was in 1956. And honestly, when I was reading through it and looking at all the information, I don't really know where Chapman got all of his info.
List of sources.
I don't know whether he spoke to people who remembered it at the time, or I don't know. But this is just the most... Excuse me. This is just the most accurate stuff I can find. And there are historical records of a couple of schoolmasters in Edinburgh with the surname Ferguson at that time.
Hmm.
So there's evidence there that he did exist. I just don't know where Chapman got this story. Yeah. And like I said, lots of details of this story were printed in papers, but they varied from paper to paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it difficult looking back. And I looked through loads of different ones. They're all different.
Classic.
It's impossible to find the place that the boys found the coffins, because all of these stories report it happening in different places.
Oh, interesting.
So none of them can agree on where this little cave was.
Oh.
Some people describe it as more of a little opening rather than a big cave. So some people are out looking for a cave. Some people believe it's just a little hole that was dug in the ground, which I think I'm probably more inclined to believe, because I think if there was a cave, it would be a lot easier to find it again.
Yeah, I'm imagining cave as a very large rabbit hole. So, like, you can kind of crawl in a bit. Because you have to be able to, like, get in. And if it was covered with slate, then you get pretty big bits of slate. But you can't cover, like a 6 foot tall mouth opening of a cave.
Well, exactly. I'm thinking about, like, having the tiers. Like, initially when I read the story that described it as a cave, and it talked about the different levels of all these coffins, I had in my head it was, like, a room-sized place.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have to be, because the dolls aren't huge.
Well, yeah, it'd just have to be, like, I don't know, maybe just, like, 2 or 3 foot tall that you would crawl into.
And they're boys. Like, they're smaller than adults.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been impossible to find where the boys found these coffins, because nobody can agree on what it was like. After the dolls and the coffins were discovered, they eventually ended up in the hands of a man called Robert Fraser. And he was a jeweller in Edinburgh at the time.
Hmm.
And it's a bit fuzzy on how he got them. I don't really know how he got his hands on these. But he got them. And he put them on display in his private museum.
Oh, that was good of him.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. You could just have a private museum. And that's just fine.
I mean, I suppose that's still the case, really.
You'd you'd have to, like... I don't know. It seems like you'd have to have checks, or... I don't know.
No, I can... You probably wouldn't call it that, but... Because people always loan paintings and things. Like that book Bill
Gates...
But
that's a private collection. That's not a private museum.
I suppose just a different word for the same thing, though.
Mm.
I mean, you're just a bit up yourself if you say, oh, it's my private museum. Maybe it's to get girls back. I don't imagine it works.
But then he's a jeweller.
Mm, that's true.
People went absolutely nuts for these dolls and these coffins, and everyone in Edinburgh was talking about them. Everyone wanted to go see them. So he had a booming business of people coming to see his private museum and see these dolls and these coffins. It was a really big deal in Edinburgh at the time. But then he retired in 1845. So 1845. 9 years later.
Okay, okay.
And then the coffins were put up for auction. Again, I don't know why anyone would want to buy these. I don't know why you don't want to own them, have them in your house.
Yeah.
Don't know.
That's pretty common, though. People love weird stuff like that.
Oh, I don't get it. The lot, you know, the auction lot, described them as the celebrated Lilliputian coffins found on Arthur's Seat, 1836. So, like, Lilliput from Gulliver's Travels? The little people?
Oh!
And they sold for just over £4.
£4.
Which I looked up because I knew you would ask.
I would ask. I'm about to ask. How much is that now?
£460.
That's right.
Thereabouts-ish.
That's right.
Compound
interest.
I could be wrong. I tried to convert it.
Yeah.
If I am wrong, you can tell me.
That's true.
But then the coffins disappear completely until 1901.
Mm.
And that's when they resurfaced, when a woman called Christina Cooper from Dumfriesshire donated 8 of the coffins to the National Museum of Scotland. So that's what I was talking about.
Oh.
That's the museum that's in Edinburgh. And you can still go and see them. Like, they're there.
We should definitely do that.
Well, we've been to the National Museum. We probably did see them.
I think we did. I didn't think anything of them.
Don't remember.
Walked past one. Creepy. And walked on.
So yeah, so that's how we have photos of them. That's how I know what they look like. Mm. Because they're at the National Museum.
That's 8. Did you say there was 14? Did I just make
17.
That? 17.
There were 17, but 8 of them have been donated.
Interesting.
To the National Museum.
I suppose the boys probably wrecked a bunch of them by just trashing them open and throwing them
at each other. Well, they were throwing at each other, and if some of them had already decayed, then you don't know what state they were in by 1901. No, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
So lots of people have studied the coffins and the dolls, naturally, because they need to know what they were and why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've managed to glean some information, but it's still a bit vague. Problems arose because the dolls were found by children and not by professionals. So obviously if it's children finding them, they've disturbed it, they've moved things around, they might have broken them. It wasn't a professional archaeologist or scientist that found them, it was children. So that caused problems.
Yeah. I just imagine that kid in Home Alone, who, when they're all like lining up outside the little minibus to go to the airport, he's just climbing over and just lifting shit up and looking at it and be like, oh, what's that? Ooh, a yo-yo. And then lets all the string out and then puts it down again.
Yeah, kind of like that. They weren't interested in maintaining the scientific integrity of these dolls. They just wanted to throw them at each other and have fun. But
boys,
a lot of the information about the origin of the coffins and the dolls, I found reading a history journal called The Book of the Old Edinburgh Club, which took a long time, but it was worth it. And the research was published there by Alan Simpson and Samuel Menefee, M-E-N-E-F-E-E.
Menefee.
The Old Edinburgh Club are a really active historical society in Edinburgh.
Hmm.
And they, well, I don't know, COVID, but before COVID, they were out and about all the time.
Yeah.
And really active, really engaged. So if by some chance you're listening to this and you're in Edinburgh and you're interested in history, you should definitely look them up, because they're doing stuff all the time, and they have a really active website and things. So this is where this information comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And they reckon that the dolls were made sometime after 1800.
Okay.
They were found in 1836, and they reckon there's sometime after 1800.
Mm.
Because they managed to date the paper and the rags that were found in the coffins.
Oh, cool.
And they know that they were made after 1780. and after looking at how the coffins decayed, they also believe that the dolls were buried after 1830. So they reckon that they were buried after 1830. So max they'd been in the little cave, little opening for 6 years, is what they think.
Mm.
Initially, they thought that the dolls were buried at different times, but they're kind of flip-flopping on that because the dolls that were decayed were lower to the ground. It might have just been water exposure that preserved them and not the others.
Mm.
So there's evidence to suggest that they were dropped off singly,
mm-hmm.
But they're just looking at the way that it's decayed and they're not completely sure.
Hmm.
Each coffin was hollowed from a piece of Scots pine.
Oh.
And they believe that the coffins and the dolls were carved using a really sharp knife.
Mm.
But what's interesting is they don't think they were made by professional woodworkers.
Oh, okay.
Because they think that a professional would have access to different tools, like a chisel or mm-hmm. something more specialist, whereas this is just made with a knife.
Mm.
And other tools would have been a lot easier to use than a knife to do this. So they don't think they were a professional woodworker, because they would have done a better job.
That's kind of what I figured as well.
Yeah.
I thought they were just, I imagine something just handmade. Someone, I don't know, pouring all their rage out into this doll with a little knife by the candlelight. If they weren't very good, maybe they only have two fingers left.
Like voodoo.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know anything about voodoo, shouldn't say that. It was also noted that the coffins were two different shapes.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them have square edges and some of them have rounded edges.
Hmm.
Which made the people who were looking at the coffins wonder if two different people made the coffins using different techniques. So okay. One person was able to round them
mm-hmm.
and someone else had them square.
Mm.
So maybe more than one person dropped these coffins into the cave.
Interesting.
Or the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the tin on the outside of the coffins.
Oh, yeah.
Remember I said that mm-hmm. like a million years ago? Well, the people who were analysing them saw that the tin had been attached to the wood in a similar way to the way that shoe buckles used to be made and attached to shoes. So they were thinking that the coffins could have been made by a leather worker or a shoemaker.
Mm.
It's just a guess. They don't know.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. Or by someone who owns shoes.
Well, no. Someone who knows how to make shoes.
I suppose like making it's different. I was thinking you could just look at the shoe and be like, oh, okay.
Well, maybe some people could.
Maybe. I just imagine like the way the leather would go from being quite common sense, like when you saw it, be like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Well, maybe, but would you have the tools to do it?
Ah, that's the question.
If you weren't a leather worker or a shoemaker.
Yes. No, I don't
know. Kieran with the hot take. I know exactly who made these coffins. I know exactly what was going on.
Blow this thing wide open.
That's kind of what they know about the coffins.
Okay.
As for the dolls, some of them had their arms taken off so that they would fit into the little coffins.
Makes sense.
So, well, it does, but it also suggests that the dolls weren't made to be buried in these coffins.
Ah.
Because they don't fit.
That's a good point.
So whoever had them, or whoever decided to do this, decided to bury the dolls, but then had to alter them so that they would fit into these coffins.
Mm.
Simpson and Menifee, who I mentioned before, actually think that the dolls have been taken from a set of toy soldiers.
Oh.
Because of how tall that they stand, and the little details... Hang on. Yes, the little details show they used to be wearing hats and carrying muskets and wearing boots.
Oh, interesting.
So these have been adapted for this purpose.
Mm.
And they have movable knees and ankles so that they physically stand up.
Oh, wow. That's a lot more intricate than I had in my head.
Well, I don't... From what I remember from what they look like, they're not hugely like intricate, but these, they just have these joints
mm-hmm.
so that they can stand tall. But they don't move, like you can't move their waist or their mm-hmm. arms or anything. It's just that so they can stand.
Mm. I think that's how nutcrackers are.
I think so, yeah. You don't move the...
Yeah, because they move their head to crack the nuts, obviously.
Mm. But. So, Simpson Menifee made the point that if the dolls were carved purely to represent someone who was dead, there'd be no point in going to the effort of making them able to stand up.
Mm. That's true.
If you were making these knowing you're going to bury them and that they're to represent a dead person, excuse me, you wouldn't bother with knees and ankles.
Yeah. or heads or shoulders.
And then even creepier than that, I'm just going to blow past it because I'm here with a smoking gun. The dolls all have open eyes.
Oh.
So if they were created to represent dead people, wouldn't they have their eyes carved shut? Not open.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it seems quite likely that they used to be toy soldiers and someone has decided to do this with them.
That's pretty messed up. Excuse me. That's pretty messed up.
Right?
I'm wondering if it's like a mother who lost a child or children.
You think? Is that your theory?
That's where I am.
Or a theory.
That's, yeah. That maybe, because I don't know. Don't think there'd been a war on at that time. There definitely was. But Boer War? It was 18-something. 100-year war?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. But, yeah, maybe someone lost a child. Maybe they lost 17 children.
Well, I was going to say there were 17 of these dolls.
In a house fire.
Yeah. Ooh.
That'd be a bit the rough, wouldn't it?
Thickens. You're, like, writing a little book over there. A little ditty.
You know, just have lots of children back then.
Well, yeah, that was common. And it was common to lose children.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Losing 17 is quite a lot. Not heard of, but...
Who was it?
Marcus Aurelius lost...
You know exactly what
I'm 12 of his, yeah.
It's a bit early. I think. Was there not... Do you not have, like, 15, 16 children and you lost 12 of them? Or was it all of them?
I can't remember if he got survived by two successors. He didn't give his throne to a successor by birth.
Mm. Well, so, you know, yeah, it was common. Matter. It did happen, so you could be right.
Maybe.
Because we still don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, like, or maybe like lost at sea or something. Fisherman. Somewhere.
I can't remember if that's particularly interesting or something we'll talk about later. I can't remember.
Like, they represent someone they've lost who doesn't have like a recoverable body. So they're burying these things in their stead.
Kind of like an effigy.
Yeah. And it was a little toy soldier. A child. Being annoyed. Bury 17 of them, though.
Well, it's really, really impressive. When I was doing all the research for this, the people who have analysed these dolls and these coffins have been so thorough. And they've looked at everything that you could think of. They analysed the thread that was used to sew the clothes onto the dolls.
Wow.
And they discovered that it was a type of thread that was made in Paisley after 1812. Because it was made of cotton and not linen. Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
Like, how?
Yeah. That makes more sense, because when you said, like, get analysed, like, oh, it's just wood.
Mm-mm.
You'll just know, you can find out what wood it is, but there's not new wood. Well, I mean, it could be an imported wood, I suppose, but, yeah, all the clothes.
Because remember, they're all wearing different outfits.
Yeah.
But yeah, they analysed this thread and discovered it was made in Paisley after 1812.
Wild.
So specific. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed doing all the research for this because it kept going and going and going. So I have a couple of theories. And I read a couple of theories about why the dolls were buried. So I'm going to start with the one that I believe in the least.
Okay.
First theory is that the dolls were part of a spell and were being used in a magic ritual. That's what some people believe. And there's not really a lot of evidence for that.
Yeah.
Just that... the dolls likely represent real people since they're all dressed differently.
Mm-hmm.
And people say that someone was trying to carry out a spell concerning them.
I mean, could be, I suppose.
Like,
neither here nor there.
Well, yeah, that's it. There's no way to say that that's not what it was.
Yeah.
But there's not really anything.
Yeah. I thought you were going to come in with aliens.
No. No. The Scotsman said at the time that, quote, "Our own opinion would be, had we not some years ago abjured witchcraft and demonology, that there are still some of the weird sisters hovering about the Mushet's Cairn or the Windy Gowl, who retain their ancient power to work spells of death by entombing the likenesses of those they wish to destroy." End quote. So that's interesting after us saying earlier that this is when science was kind of coming to the fore and people were relying on that, and this is in the paper saying, no, we don't believe in that nonsense anymore, we're not idiots.
Yeah.
Like, it was like less than 100 years before.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was wondering when that was. When were the...
The witch trials were in the 1700s.
Okay.
I think, like, early to mid 17. That could be wrong. That could be completely wrong.
definitely 1700s. Well, I mean,
I'm saying that with so much conviction.
Yeah. They'd still be in memory, though. Well, like you said, the 50s. I'm like, oh, yeah, the 50s. You can think of the 50s. So back then, in, was it 1825?
1836.
Still in, like, living memory, potentially.
It may have been the 1600s, actually.
Witchcraft.
16 and 1700s. Cause it happened for a long time, and the witch trials in Scotland were really bad. Like, I think Scotland executed the most witches out of any country in Europe.
Most free time.
Most... That's all you have to say. Well, yeah, I find it quite funny that it's in the paper just saying, so, no, like, who would believe that? That's ridiculous. Like, nobody would be that stupid. It's just, it's kind of like when you're little and you're trying to show off how mature you are at the, like, adult party.
Yes. Witches, eh?
Who believes that?
That nonsense. Don't hurt me, witches, please.
So that's theory number one.
Yep.
But, like I said, that's not the one that I believe the most.
Mm-hmm.
The second theory is really interesting because I learned about an event that I never knew happened until I did the research for this story.
D-Y-O-R.
I almost asked you. I was like, no, I know this. I'm cool. I'm down with the lingo and the kids. So the second theory is that the dolls are there to memorialise and honour people, mainly weavers, who protested against their terrible work conditions and terrible pay in 1820. So these people just had terrible working conditions. So I was talking about the Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
There were jobs and people were moving to the city, but that doesn't mean it was a nice place to work or a nice place to live. Like, it was pretty dire for a lot of people. And a lot of the people who protested against the conditions that they were working in and the terrible pay were arrested or were shipped off to Australia.
Wow.
So they were shipped off to the colonies. And the authorities at the time executed the ringleaders of these protests. And all they were protesting for was a decent life.
Mm.
That's all they wanted. So that uprising was squashed, and after that, a lot of out-of-work weavers were put to work building the Radical Road, because they didn't have a job anymore.
Mm.
And the Radical Road is a trail that goes around Arthur's Seat.
Oh.
So this theory suggests that the dolls in the coffins were a way for people to keep the rebellion alive.
Oh.
And honour the sacrifice and the memory of the people who died fighting for better lives for workers. So that's the second theory.
That's interesting.
What do you think about that one?
I quite like that one. I'm pretty sure I have something in my head, like weavers, there's like, even anyway, it's like really bad air.
All the fibres and all the like tiny particles can't be good for you.
So I think that's still the case in like some sweatshops and things. There's just really bad air quality inside. Well, I'd imagine
just sweatshops generally are pretty
the factories. Well, yeah, but part of it's because of working with all this fibre. It all goes into the air and then clogs you up. And I think that kind of rings a bell, like the really bad pay of weavers. Being like, fuck you, man.
Well, that was the thing. I never knew about that. I never knew about the Radical Road Rebellion. But that's what happened. So some people believe that that is what the coffins are. And it was people who were working on the road.
Yeah.
Just paying their own kind of tribute to these people who were shipped off or were executed in Edinburgh at that time.
I like that. That's a nice theory, so
it'd be lovely, or it wouldn't be lovely, but it'd be lovely if it was true, if that was the reason behind the dolls.
Yeah.
A terrible thing to happen, but a lovely tribute.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's lovely, because it's not lovely.
Well, no, people dying is obviously terrible. Beat the man.
So that's number two. Number three drew me in hook, line and sinker.
Ooh.
This is an exciting one. I like this one. And I think most people are excited about this one. And this is the theory that Simpson and Menifee from the old Edinburgh Club.
I think so.
That name right. Let me check. Where is it?
Pretty sure it was the old Edinburgh Club.
I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want the old Edinburgh Club to be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. Yes, the old Edinburgh... Yes, I got it right. Okay. The old Edinburgh Club. This is the theory that Simpson and Menifee back, which... You know, he gives it a certain amount of gravitas.
When were Simpson... When were they?
This is almost contemporary, I think.
Okay.
So, like, the past 30 or so years. I can't remember when... Oh, I might have the source, actually. Where is it?
We're going to have show notes where you can see all these sources.
Yes, this is a good time to mention
and show notes. The creepy picture, which I really want to look up. I want to see what these creepy dolls look like.
We'll post photos and things on the Instagram. If you want to see the photos that I mention or we mention, just check out Instagram for that kind of thing. I can't find the source, but it's more contemporary. Like, they're still going and they're still researching.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't discussing all of this at the time it happened. They're a lot more recent, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So this is what they think.
Mm.
So we talked about this. Some people think that the coffins and the dolls were made and buried to act as substitute burials for other people.
Mm.
So substitutes for people who were lost at sea or died abroad to make sure that they had a Christian burial, even though they had no body to bury.
Yeah.
So that's what you said.
That's what I said.
So that's what they think. And it makes the most sense in my head. Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose the rebellion one kind of makes sense for the same reason, but it makes sense in my head to do something like that for someone that you're grieving for and you can't bury.
Mm-hmm.
To do something like that instead. Like, the same way people bury, like, empty caskets and things sometimes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you'll have the headstone, but there's no body there.
It brings closure and it brings you a place to grieve.
Yeah. Yeah, it just makes sense.
Yeah. But this isn't the dramatic part.
Ooh.
It's going to get more exciting. So Simpson and Menifee give a more specific suggestion for who these dolls are supposed to represent, which is the big question. So they explain that for all 17 of these coffins to be buried around the same time, something terrible must have happened that resulted in 17 deaths.
Yeah.
Some kind of tragedy, some kind of horror. So I'm trying to build the atmosphere. I'm trying to get you excited because this is exciting. I'm waiting for the moment where I tell you the bit and then you go, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I mentioned previously that during the early 1800s, study and innovations in medicine were right at the forefront of everybody's mind. People wanted to learn more about the human body. They wanted to discover how bodies worked and improve medicine.
Yep.
Doctors and surgeons were doing this, but they needed bodies to practice on.
Oh, yeah.
So this was a common thing. They bought cadavers so that they could study the human body. That it sounds grotty, and it is grotty, but it was pretty common.
It's the backstory to Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
Mel Brooks?
Mel Brooks, yeah.
Mel Brooks film.
Now, do you know anybody who would be able to fulfill this need that the doctors and the surgeons have? For bodies.
Grave robbers.
In Edinburgh in the 1800s.
I can't remember.
It's okay. We'll get to it.
We'll get there. So
during this time, body snatchers were rife.
Jock the Ripper.
Don't ruin this for me. I've been building up to this whole time. So they, if you don't know, you probably know. They were robbing graves for bodies that they could sell to surgeons and doctors who needed them for study. But there was one pair of body snatchers in Edinburgh who went above and beyond the call of duty when it came to volunteering their services. They really went above and beyond to further our understanding of human anatomy. And these men were called Burke and Hare.
Burke and Hare. Right,
you know Burke and Hare, yes?
I know Burke and Hare. So I was saying, like, Jekyll and Hyde? No, it's someone and someone. Burke and Hare.
Burke and Hare. William Burke and William Hare. I didn't know they had the same name.
The Billies.
The Billies. I wonder if anyone ever called them that. Just to lower the tone, were murderers. The Billies were murderers who killed people in Edinburgh in 1827 and 1828, to sell their bodies to the surgeon, Dr. Robert Knox. Do you want to know how many murders they were responsible for?
I think I know, but you can tell me.
17.
Oh, shit. That's a good theory.
So, some people believe that the dolls in the coffins were made to memorialise the victims of Burke and Hare.
Oh. Did they get caught at the time, do you know?
They got caught in the end, yes. Yeah. I will explain. Their murders were seen as particularly horrific at the time because they were delivering their victims' bodies for dissection. And lots of people believe that if this happened to you, you were denying that person a Christian burial.
Oh, yeah.
So people believe that Burke and Hare were killing people, but also denying them their chance at salvation and getting into heaven. So they were really hated.
Mm-hmm.
As murderers should be. And Hare ended up spilling the beans on Burke after they were caught.
Yeah.
So he outed him, and he ratted on his friends so that he wouldn't get hanged.
Okay, okay.
So Hare survived. Mm-hmm. Burke was hanged. And then, after he was hanged, his body was sent to the Royal College of Surgeons for public dissection.
Yeah.
Just like all of his victims, in a very weird twist of irony.
Yeah, that's weird. Hmm.
We could do an episode on Burke and Hare.
That was
something
fun.
People wanted to hear more about. It's a really gory and really spooky story. But that's the third theory.
Yeah, I do. That's one vote.
You want to hear about Burke and Hare?
Yeah, because I don't really know much about them.
Okay, we could do Burke and Hare.
Yeah. Ooh. The body billies.
I'm not calling it the body billies.
Not the hillbillies.
But that's all that we know. And that's all of the sort of more talked about theories about what the fairy coffins are and what they represent.
Interesting. Ooh.
I'm in with the Burke and Hare theory.
I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? When did they operate? Do you know?
I did say, I think it was like 18...
When were they murdering?
How have I lost this already? I just said it.
How was I not listening?
You should have been listening. Where is it? They killed people in 1827 and 1828.
Oh,
I did say it.
Yeah. I'm busy gasping.
I know.
Clutching my pearls.
So it would fit in with the timeline of when, like, these must have been buried.
So then they were found 8 years later.
Mm-hmm. But they reckon that they were buried sometime after 1830.
Yeah.
Isn't that long after these murders. No. And it's such a specific number.
Yeah.
I nearly died when I saw... I read this for the first time, and then they're like... and they were responsible for 17 murders. They didn't lay it out as explicitly as I did to you. So my detective brain was like, 17.
17. We know that number.
17.
That's how much wood a woodchuck can chew.
Don't ruin this for me. I was excited.
Yeah, that's wild. 17. Isn't it? I mean, that'd be pretty weird to be a coincidence, but...
It could be.
It's the exact type of thing that could be a coincidence. You'd be like, how's that a coincidence?
Because it could be equally as likely that it's to memorialise people who died at sea.
Yeah. You see, I think memorial over, like, witch or, like, pagan ritual or...
I do too. I think it's a way to remember somebody.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd put them in a little cave instead of, just, like, actually burying them. But I suppose it's kind of like a mausoleum, isn't it? They're...
Well, I guess the hope would be that they're not disturbed.
Yeah, that's true.
Shit bags who come along, ruin it and ruin empty it. Everything.
Oh, there might be a rabbit in here.
But then because so many people have thought, like, oh, like witchcraft and it must be evil. Even, like, those things aren't even the same thing, but that's... People immediately go to something evil, something terrible. So I guess I could see why you would have them somewhere hidden, because you wouldn't want people thinking that of you when it's just a private way of remembering someone.
Yeah. And it'd be a lot easier to put them in, like, a ready-made cave than digging a big hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then what if someone finds you just burying up a hole? Like, what's in there? Nothing.
Well, what if someone catches you and thinks that you're grave robbing?
Yeah.
Body snatching.
Hmm.
I think it could be in memory of them.
Yeah. Then I wonder if it's the memory of them, if one person decided to memorialise all the victims... Or if someone's like, oh, I'm going to do this, and then they, like, got all the victims' families and, like, next of kin and everything, all, like, they all did it together. Because there could have been, like, a big group of people all around this little cave, all, like, laying to rest their loved ones.
But then when they were found, wouldn't the families say something? If there was
That's true,
them?
Yeah.
I wondered if it's someone who knew what was happening and felt guilty.
Oh, an accomplice.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Felt guilty about it.
Yeah.
We could literally do this all night. There's so many what ifs. Because we just don't have all the information. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. But it's so interesting. And as soon as I saw the story, I had to include it as an episode. Yeah. I thought it was so good.
I thought you were going to say like there was like a ship went down with 17 crew members or something.
No, it's like the Scottish Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like everything coming in on itself. Did you like your first story?
I thoroughly enjoyed my first story. Thank you very much for telling it to me.
How many coffins would you rate this story? 17?
I would rate it 8 coffins out of 7.
8 out of 7?
Yeah.
That's not the scale.
That's really good.
How many out of 17?
Out of 17? I rate it 17.
Good answer.
It's because it's COVID and there's nowhere to escape to.
Well, that means we can do episode 2 if you like this one. And you're good. Right, there is no escape. COVID is everywhere. I feel like I can decompress now. I've told my story.
Told your story. You've done your bit.
I didn't completely trip up. I just said so and a lot.
That's allowed, though.
I'll get better. I promise.
We'll get better at this.
I promise.
I'll be funnier. How do we end?
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
If you've made it to this point in the first episode, well done.
Yeah, good job.
You've got a gold star from me.
Yeah. I almost didn't make it, so.
Excuse me. You have to make it. It's rude if you don't make it.
I should walk out.
I hope you enjoyed hearing about the fairy coffins. I think it's really interesting.
I thought it was really cool.
Such an interesting historical find. And something you can still go and see when we're allowed to go to museums again. You can go see these for yourself. And it's just a strange piece of history.
Yeah.
Which is the best kind of history.
That is the best bit. That's what we're all about here. Yeah, we're going to have show notes, but I forget what the website address is. I think it might be generallyspookypodcast.com.
You think?
I think. I can't actually remember.
You can't remember the website that you made?
No. So if you probably go to Instagram and then get it from there.
You can follow us on Instagram at generallyspooky.
See,
I know my bit.
This is the knowledge I should have got.
I'm in charge of the Instagram and I know where it's at. I'm going to have said that and it's going to be wrong.
I'm sure it's not Generally Spooky Podcast.
I'm so sure of it. I have to check now. You're going to have to vamp while I check. I said vamp, not scat. I had it right. It's Generally Spooky.
Yeah, Generally Spooky.
At Generally Spooky on Instagram.
At Generally Spooky on Instagram. I'm Aileen. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because I remember what I made. I wish we do this outro again. I think it's been very good.
Yeah, we'll just say goodbye. Bye.
Is that it?
Could be it.
You're just going to say bye?
I'm just going to say bye.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It means the world. We don't really expect anyone to listen.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And come back for episode 2.
Yes.